On Monday, 9 out of 12 members resigned from the National Park Advisory Board. Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke had refused to meet with them, they said, and they had not convened a single meeting last year. Board members expressed concern that the Department of the Interior is undoing much of the progress made in recent years and has dismissed their work. For more on this, I spoke with Phil Francis, chair of the Coalition to Protect America's National Parks. He worked in the Park Service for more than 40 years and works now to help protect the natural and cultural resources our national parks have to offer. And we talked first about what the role of the National Parks Advisory Board is to begin with.
The board was created back in 1935 under the Historic Sites, Buildings, and Antiquities Act. And the board advises the director of the National Park Service and the Secretary of the Interior about the National Park Service system, and the programs that are administered by the National Park Service, including the Historic Sites, Buildings, and Antiquities Act. They designate national historic landmarks and national natural landmarks and determine the historic significance of proposed national historic trails. Like, there's one right in there, Route 66 would be one. And the board may advise on any matter that's submitted to the board by the director or any other issues that the board might identify.
So I wonder, with this resignation, which is more than three quarters of the members of the board now have resigned, what was your reaction to this?
I was shocked. You know, this board, as I mentioned before, was authorized in 1935 and it's been meeting ever since. They provide valuable service to the American public and advice to the director of the National Park Service, whether it be issues such as improving the diversity of our visitation to our national parks, improving our educational programs, how we might reach out better to the American public. Now, they do a lot of really good work. And one of the important things that I've learned in my 41 years is that we need to hear from the American public. We need that input. And it seems to me that this input may not be welcome now. And that is shocking to me.
Okay, so the terms of the resigning board members were set to expire in May. Do you think that the board, which has been around, like you said, since 1935, will continue after this? And if it doesn't, for some reason, because there are no members on it, what do you think that would mean?
The people who serve on this board are very talented and experienced individuals who provide outstanding advice to the director and the secretary. The board had people who had served as a chair of the National Science Foundation, for example. There's leadership experience available on the board, people with a science background, the former governor of Alaska, and there's so many important issues that occur in Alaska. I mean, that expertise is now missing. So it's not just the projects, but it's also that continuing dialogue that occurs between these very, very bright people and very dedicated people in our government. Yeah. And that should go on.
Does Secretary Zinke's refusal to meet with the advisory board and now their resignation and his action regarding national lands, does it have you concerned about the future of the nation's national parks?
Well, you know, I must say that I am concerned. The last budget submitted by the administration calls for about a 13% reduction in our budget. That would be a historic reduction. Our parks have been operating on a shoestring budget for a number of years now. We have taken a position in the coalition that there should be not one less dollar because of the series of cuts that have occurred over the year. What we hear is that there may be another proposal by the administration to reduce the Park Service budget even more. The rollback of environmental regulations that help protect our national parks, increasing oil and gas drilling next to national parks and on public lands that may affect the visibility or noise pollution and so forth to national parks. And so, yeah, there have been so many actions taken that it really does concern me about whether or not the same level of commitment that has existed in our national park system for over 100 years will continue to exist.
What would you like to see the administration do?
You know, these places are truly, truly special. And they're not only special in terms of the natural and cultural resources, but they're important economic generators for local communities, employing thousands and thousands of people for a $3 billion investment in our national parks to run all the national parks and serve over 300 million people a year. You know, we get a $39 billion economic output. I've been looking for an investment like that where you get 12% return, and I haven't found one. And it just doesn't make sense to me that we would we would put at risk not only our natural and cultural resources, these wonderful places that tell the story of America, but also have an adverse impact on our economy. Hard to understand.
Phil Francis is the chair of the Coalition to Protect America's National Parks. Phil, thanks so much for joining us to talk about this.
You're very welcome. Thank you for your interest.